culture on podcast.
It's here on Broadway, in Broadway. Once again, podcasting from our show. Got some pretty good press clips this week, didn't we?
We got some nice press clips. We got the new last Sunday a nice little spread in the New York Times Style magazine.
Shout out everyone over at the Styles Desk. Shout out Cultured Magazine, published a nice little
conversation.
It
was almost like a transcript of a podcast, actually. It was a conversation between you, me, and Joe Cole.
Very fun read.
Great pictures. Weird, Nate, like all of a sudden at some point yesterday I started getting like literally several hundred people trying to follow me on Instagram. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, have I been hacked? No one, like, I'm not that popular. It was all because of this Cultured Magazine spread.
I know. They've got a lot of clout on the social media, clearly, because I got a bunch of followers.
I found it to be an interesting data point. Anyway, it was been quite a week. This is my first time after having spent every day for like a week and a half straight at this gallery, because I was out of town for part of the week and just it was a busy, busy week in other parts of the city. This is my first time being back here. The show still looks great. Mm-hmm. We're about to, this is not going to get online for another few days, but we're about to have a book signing with our friend Joel Messler. He's here. I helped schlep some cases of books out from the car. So we're going to get to that as soon as we are done here. I had some good meals. Never mind gallery dinners, which I also have. I had some great meals this week.
You texted me yesterday from the grill. You made your big return to the grill without me, I see, but that's fine. Whatever.
I think we have a reservation in the books for you and I. Another great lunch at the grill. Talk about one of the greatest restaurants to be sitting in as it's snowing outside in the greatest city in the world. It was magical. No, nothing short of that. I was with two deep-throated friends of the pod, and we went deep in the art gossip, but we went deep in the food, man.
Tell me about it.
I stole your idea from last time, and I had the incredible shrimp cocktail.
It's fucking insane.
In that kind of like topiary of parsley that they serve it on. This massive thing. Really, really good. My friends had some smoked salmon for apps. We all shared a chopped salad. Obviously, we had to get the crayfish sausage.
That thing's crazy.
For the table.
So good.
As one does.
Unbelievable.
And then I went a little bit off-piste. I'm not sure if I've ever in my life ordered a chicken pot pie anywhere. It's just not, and it's also not something I really grew up eating. Not really big in the Godsell household.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe I've had like a frozen Marie Chandler's in college once when I was really stoned.
Yeah.
This was...
The tracks.
Incredible. It was like in this turin, almost like a bowl of French onion soup, the soup that's always a better idea than it is in practice, in my experience, with this kind of puff pastry that had been cross-hatched, baked over the top. And inside, it was just incredibly decadent, buttery, creamy, chickeny. And as I ordered, the waitress said, "Now, sir, are you okay with this? There's black truffles in there." And I
truffles? I think we'll take them. That's fine. Thank you.
I forget what my colleagues had they shared the Dover sole with the whole trolley service, which is what you do at a major food group. But then we all shared a single slice of the like a lemon chiffon cake.
Wow.
Oh, baby, man. Shit was good.
Mm.
But just the room, like there was some power brokers in there. There was some powerful people from the art world.
Great.
I saw a wise sister, some other folks. It just like in this Philip Johnson originally designed space, looking out over Snowy Park Avenue and 52nd Street, iconic. No other words for
Amazing. I had a meal at a restaurant that is probably the opposite of the grill in terms of decor, but in some ways equal in terms of food. I went to Superiority Burger.
Oh, hell yes.
And it was just fantastic. You know, they have this new cocktail. It's the Bird's Beak Martini. And I do want to say Ash is one of the owners, and Brooks, the owner chef, who is a good friend of the pod, legendary East Village figure. They were really pushing this Bird's Beak Martini, and it's a martini with a bit of pepper in it. And so it sort of, instead of the olive juice, there's like a sort of peppery brine, and it is fantastic. I had three of them. So great. We shared the beans, which are fucking amazing. I don't even know what they're doing with beans, but they're doing shit with beans that is like beyond my comprehension. It's insane. We obviously just put some burgers. The collard green sandwich is fucking
that's,
nuts.
That sandwich slaps.
It's
absolutely
so crazy.
I'm not the first to say this, but I've been saying it since the first time I went there in the opening weeks. Best restaurant in New York, like, you know, as a New York entity in a way. I'd say that and the grill actually kind of are a wonderful balancing act of two very different experiences, but equally so of the city and of the moment.
Totally. I mean, just incredible food. Also just like you know, bang for your buck. It's just amazing. I mean, I could eat there once a week, easy. It's fantastic.
It's interesting you mentioned that martini. I've seen it a bunch. And I was in Seattle at the beginning of the week. Mm-hmm. And I went to a restaurant, Driftwood, out there. That's like all, like, it's about as Pacific Northwest as you can get. Like, all, everything's sourced within like 50 miles, like Dungeness Club. And they had a significant number of non-alcoholic cocktails, as well as regular cocktails that they marked that they could make non-alcoholic.
Wow.
And they had a martini that they marked as they could make non-alcoholic. And I was suspicious, but interested, as you can imagine.
Uh-huh.
I haven't had anything, even in a martini-shaped glass, in over a couple of years. So I ordered that. It was made with smoked salt from the bay right there.
Wow.
And some kind of spicy brine. So it was like a spice, excuse me, it was a spiced brine, and the brine was made with the salt from the bay, and also spicy. And it was so full of umami. It was incredible. You almost didn't even miss the vodka. It was maybe the only mocktail I've ever had that I actually enjoyed.
Wow.
Absolutely incredible. The whole meal was great. Like, I had this Dungeness Crab thing. It was very Pacific Northwest. It was like on the right on the sound there, the bays. You could look out. I like walked and saw the sunset. Incredibly Pacific Northwestern thing to do. And it was so good. I camped up there for 2 hours at the bar with my
kids. That's great.
It was awesome.
Did you see any art?
No, because I ended up this restaurant in part because restaurants aren't open in Seattle on Mondays.
Oh, my God.
Some of them aren't even on Tuesdays. So the entire list of, like, Eater's Top 38, 36 of them were closed. And some of the others were, like, lunch-only kind of spots. Yeah, so I saw no art. The museums were closed. There aren't really any galleries to speak of.
Mm.
But I did see some beautiful art that I was hanging in a very, very gorgeous home overlooking Lake Washington.
That's great. No local celebrity sightings? Eddie Vedder wasn't hanging out?
Dude, I went like from the hotel to the client's house, back to the hotel, to the Barry's, and to this restaurant. And that was all of Seattle I saw. I did spend a lot of time outside, like walking in the sunshine. It was cold as fuck, but sunny. Almost as cold as it is here. So those were my non-gallery dinner meals that I had out in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a bunch of gallery openings. I know you and I both went to two different Gagosian opening dinners, right?
Somehow. I don't know how that squared out.
On, I guess it was Thursday night, I attended.
It was Wednesday.
It was Wednesday night? Okay.
Yeah.
It all runs together. That's true. I came home and went right to that. That's cuckoo. A wonderful dinner for our friend Jen Guidi that the Gagosian Gallery held at Indochine. Absolutely iconic.
Amazing.
Got to link and build with the owner. Our friend Meredith Darrow introduced me to him. So that was cool. We got there a little bit early. We'd had a drink together at the Bowery Hotel just before that.
Oh, very
yeah,
chic.
Yeah. Perfect. Perfect neighborhood kind of joint. Mm. You know, by the fire and the coal. Incredible meal. Everyone was there. It was actually, there weren't that many collectors there. It was a lot of Gagosian staff members and a ton of artists. There was an entire table of artists.
Well, you have two LA iconic LA artists opening on consecutive days, because the day after Jen Guidi's opening, there was an opening for Mary Weatherford, Sweet New Paintings, that was open at the 980 Madison space uptown. I had a few cocktails before that with a friend of the pod, Nathan Clems Gillespie, the director of Freeze Masters.
Oh, interesting. I sat next to him at the dinner the previous night.
He mentioned.
I had a great time with him.
He mentioned, yeah. We had a great time with Bevelman's. By the way, I got the bat phone for Bevelman, so we can just fucking roll in, skip past all the TikTok fucks. It's so great.
Is it still TikTok infiltrated or infested, I guess?
You don't notice that. It is very crowded, but the crowd seems to have chicified. I didn't notice anyone like taking dumb pictures and shit, but it's very crowded. And Dimitrios, who runs that place for the Iron Fist, was, you know, getting people in and out, blah, blah, blah. But he set us up with a really, really nice corner table. Excellent. Snacks were eaten, martinis were drank. It was fabulous.
Nathan is like such a chic man. Mm-hmm. He was a great person to be seated next to at dinner.
Totally.
I was a little bit chuffed because someone had moved my table card at the dinner. And I was a little bit like, who did that? Because I checked it out as soon as I got to Indochine. But then when I seated there next to a wonderful collector who's also on the board of an important artist estate here in New York, we had an incredibly wide-ranging conversation. You know, Nathan has such a deep history in the ancient world and ancient art,
mm-hmm.
as well as Italy, which is a country I'm a big fan of. He's raised in Rome. Mm-hmm. Very, very, very cool time.
He really, really pushed us going to Rome before Venice. I don't know if he pitched you on that, but it might be the move.
He was pitching me on Soul, and, you know, as I said, you want to host a Nota Bene Live as part of your programming. I think I could probably see my way to there.
Okay, great. Lovely. Nice to hear. And then, so after the opening, we all went to a little sushi joint on Madison Avenue called Capo Massa. It was fabulous. The spread was unbelievable. Larry, who, of course, owns the restaurant, was in attendance to Fete Mary, as was, friend of the pod who's in, friend of the pod, Joel Messler, was there.
Yeah, Larry did not make it to Jen's dinner. I guess he couldn't get all the way down to Indochine from the Upper East Side, but I know Kapamasa is an easier commute for him.
Yeah, I think it's an incredibly easy commute. But yeah, like an incredible sort of sushi, steak, everything you possibly want is fantastic.
I feel weird that we're only speaking about the ghost shows. I want to step into the time machine a little bit and go back. The last time we potted, you were planning that evening to go to several openings, including that of Madeline Hollander.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to go and check out that show last week. What a fucking incredible, incredible art exhibition. I was blown away by the sculptures she made in an attempt to solidify the notation or the kind of score for a dance. They're incredible.
Yeah, it has to be seen in person. I don't want to give too much away, honestly, but yeah, we went to Bordellami to see that show, linked with Madeline and her husband, of Sam Parker of the Parker Gallery in Los Angeles. Great to see them always. And then I went to a dinner for Mickey Lee, who opened a show at the Journal Gallery right around the corner.
Also a very nice show. Was that a well-attended opening?
It very much was. The dinner was at a little place I'd never heard of called Casa Carmen, which turned out some pretty good, Mexico City fare, Was not disappointed.
Well, it's interesting because I think the artist was about to leave for an extended winter holiday slash kind of working residency, self-funded residency in Mexico City. So interesting choice of cuisine.
Right. I mean, for the rest of us who aren't going to Mexico City, at least until next month, it was quite nice.
Are you making it? Are you going to Mexico City?
I don't think so, unfortunately.
Because I ran into Wyatt Kahn and his wife Constanza, who also has a great show up right now, at Jen's dinner. And he has a big show that's opening there. It's been several years in the works, and I was getting the pre-FOMO.
I'm going to be really bummed to not be there. I know that already. I think I'm going to go skiing in Colorado that week instead, which will also be very fun.
Yeah, so. I mean, I have to be in Costa Rica later that weekend, so it's almost on the way. But I have some meetings here in New York. Because I'm gonna not be in New York for almost four consecutive weeks, which is crazy.
That's very crazy, but also it's cold as shit here. So whatever.
I'm not upset about it, but I don't think I've ever, other than the summer months where I'm not here for 2 months in a row. I don't think I've ever taken an extended winter holiday from New York outside the pandemic before. So I'm weirdly kind of freaking out about getting all these appointments done and work stuff and, being an adult in this world, it isn't fucking easy, Nate Freeman.
Just adulting. But yeah, it was a really wonderful Friday evening in New York. Ton of openings in Tribeca. There's a big group show at
James Cohan
Gallery. Very wonderful. A lot of
I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard from a bunch of very diverse people that I wouldn't expect to be telling me about a group show at James Cohan that it's not to be missed.
Yeah, it's definitely not to be missed. They did a really good job. I mean, we, I think, are part of a great sequence of group shows here in New York City. I went to a wonderful one last night at White Columns, curated by Randy Kennedy. It's the White Columns annual. A lot of great stuff in that show.
The White Columns annual is always a great time. They Matthew and the rest of the staff over there, Matthew Higgs and the rest of the staff, White Columns, pick a single person that they feel sees a ton of art in New York and ask them to curate a show that kind of reflects in the year that was beforehand. And they're always very different because it's about point of view and they're always dope. And, I don't think White Columns gets enough love for being such an important part of the downtown scene.
There was a pretty good crew of people who, trekked out on a snowy January evening there, which I was very happy to see. I also stopped by a little cocktail party for a group show at the Paula Cooper Gallery called Books. It's about books. Also not to be missed. It's very lovely.
As someone who's curated a show about newspapers in the past, I'm with several Paula Cooper artists. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty excited to go check it out. I haven't seen it yet, but Anthony and the guys mentioned to me that I should swing by.
Definitely go check it out. So yeah, a lot of good group shows. It's feeling like, I guess now you do your summer group show and your January group show. Was that always a thing?
I guess so, because January is somehow seen as a sort of quiet time, although I have to say from my position in the art world, things are quite active.
Yeah, I got dinner with a friend of the pod, Mike Egan, last night, who seemed very bullish on 2024.
It's going to be a year. I can't explain it other than the fact that the S&P is out of control high.
Yeah.
The markets are booming. People are in a good mood, despite the fact of a looming election between two octogenarians who nobody seems to want to elect as the next president.
Right. Yeah. We didn't make it to Davos this year, unfortunately. I mean, we were going to go.
I've got people there. Don't worry. I'm getting reports from the ground.
So am I, and the reports are not great.
No. The global elites are cranky.
Yeah.
Despite being even richer than ever.
Yeah. They're so rich. They've gotten so fucking rich the last few 4 years, but still, you know, they're just find things to complain about. And I guess they're already complaining-ish about Trump probably getting elected. They think that Trump is going to win.
Yeah, they think he's going to win. They're complaining, but then chastising people for not understanding Trump voters.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
My good friend from JP Morgan, Jamie, was apocalyptic.
Our good friend,
excuse me, was apocalyptic about how the elites don't, it's so funny him saying this, the elites don't understand the common man and why they're drawn to Trump and thus look down on Trump voters. It was quite an interview.
Yeah, a billionaire CNBC, sitting in fucking Switzerland, like just tisking us. We love you, Jamie. Come on the pod.
I gotta say, I mean, this isn't, again, not the first day. It seems like such a fucking cursed event. You just have all these feel good panels and fake debates with like Al Gore, you know. Mm-hmm.
Apparently, like their version, the Davos version of the Trois Rois, like the best hotel that everyone wants to stay at, was so overrun with people that the lines for literally anything were like insane. Like you couldn't like get from room to room because it was so packed and people were freaking the fuck out, which would have been hilarious.
Well, it's kind of like the Felix Fair, which is coming up just around the corner.
Yeah, I got my VIP invitation in the mail. In fact, I've been getting a lot of invites to Los Angeles events and it looks like it's going to be a pretty jam-packed week.
Yeah, you know, I was worried that it was going to be too long a week because I have to get there on Sunday for a meeting and I have something Friday, so I can't leave until the following Saturday. Mm-hmm. It looks like I have something going on like every day, every night.
Me too.
It's going to be a whirlwind.
I know. I'm already getting some very chic dinner invites. There's one for Sam McInnes that I'm quite excited to attend. Sam has a solo booth at the David Korneski Gallery. I ran to Sam the
other
night.
Is that a dinner or more of a standing cocktails?
I think it's a standing cocktails, but, you know, from, you know, talking to Sam, Sam is like, this is the Sam and Dave show. Which is funny.
It is at one of my, I won't blow up the spot, but it's at one of my favorite old school Los Angeles hotels.
Yeah.
The place I used to stay at with my parents when I went to school.
Oh, that's
LA.
Cool. I didn't know that.
It's right, I hope this doesn't blow up too much, but it's right on the beach in Santa Monica. And I learned from being with my parents that it was one of the few places you could sit and have a fancy drink while looking at the sunset in all of LA, actually. And it definitely became one of my closing shops for sure.
Wow, that's beautiful. I can't wait to experience that with you, bud. That'll be fun. And then there on Tuesday, I got an invite. I don't want to blow this up too much, but a very influential, powerful music figure who's also a big art collector is having a little soiree at the Casa, which will be fun.
Yeah, I'm also excited about that. Address upon RSVP.
Exactly, yeah.
any invite that has address upon RSVP, like, it piques my interest.
Yeah, exactly.
That's going to be good. I think we'll be able to talk about that because it is a charitable thing.
That's true.
As we get closer to the event.
Yeah, I think it's still pretty hush-hush, but we'll fill y'all in on
it. I bet you we could have one of the organizers of it sit down with us on the pod.
Yeah.
Consider this your, J.A., consider this your invitation.
Yeah, okay, great.
There's a couple things in your notes about the show that I didn't know about. Everyone's favorite Democratic Socialist AOC has been eating at a certain Swiss conglomerate's restaurant group.
I mean, scrolling through Instagram today, I follow Charles Gaines on Instagram, which I highly recommend. Great artist, just fun guy all around. And he was at the Manuela restaurant at, you know, his gallery, Hauser & Wirth's Los Angeles Outpost. And lo and behold, who's there but AOC?
Wow! You
know?
Wow!
I know. I mean, just like a little fun thing to see on the TL.
It is a very good restaurant.
It's great, and they're actually opening one here in New York City in the fall.
Well, you know, they just opened Hauser & Wirth their Soho space last week. I didn't make it to the opening. I did see the preview for the show of new Cindy Sherman pictures. Oh boy!
Oh yeah!
Oh boy!
I didn't make it either. Lucy went and said it was jam packed. You know, everyone was in attendance. You know. Everyone there to fet Cindy. I heard the show's good. I'm excited to see it.
Okay, yeah. We'll see. I heard some things about it as well. I'm excited to see in person. I'm a huge fan of Cindy Sherman, and I was happy that she landed at the great Hauser & Wirth Gallery when Metro Pictures closed here in New York. Did you make it up to the Winter Antique Show? I did not have occasion to get there.
You fucking know I did, man.
Oh,
I never
baby.
Missed that shit. It's so fucking awesome. You know, the Winter Show, it's antiques. I really like the old maps that
maps
they have.
Maps are cool, man.
The
maps are
cool.
Very,
very cool. And I was just checking out a map, I think, of it just said Carolina. I think it was in the 1680s. And I like stand up and almost knock into Mike Bloomberg, who's wearing like a fuchsia sweater, looking just fucking pleased as a peach.
Well, when you're that rich, you better be pleased.
Yeah.
There's a billionaire that doesn't seem cranky. Even if he doesn't like the way the world's going, he always he's got a smile on his face.
I know. It's great to see.
Happy guy.
You know, they have a lot of nice little nibbles as well. It's just a fun thing to go to, and it's kind of like a little bit outside of, you know, our sort of bubble. You know, a lot of people just, you know, who don't really go to contemporary art things will go to the Winter Show. It's a fun thing to do in New York.
You know, Knight, we have a really, really good Hilary Pecus painting in our show.
We do.
Here that we could have sold 8 to 12 times, mm-hmm, easily the one of the most popular artworks commercially in the exhibition. And I do want to do a little bit of promo here just so people know. One of my favorite charities, RX Art, which puts art in children's wings of hospitals and tries to make them more humane and beautiful spaces for kids that are going through tough, tough times, is having their big gala this coming February the 7th, which is always a fun time. And it's actually honoring our friend Harold Ankart.
That's great.
Which is pretty cool because he's doing a big project with them at a hospital. But there's also, if you buy a certain level of ticket, there's a very small limited edition, I think it's an edition of like 40 or 50 of these incredible screen prints by Hilary Pecus that are out of control good. So if you really wanted this painting and couldn't get it, I would encourage you to Google up RX Art and track down how to get a ticket to this thing. Not only is it a fucking dope ass party, but
it's a really good
cause. These editions are going to be highly sought after in a market to those terrible people that flip them.
Right. It's a great, great event, and it's in a new location this year. I don't want to blow up the spot, but I'm very excited that it's there.
It is at a one of our favorite locations, mm-hmm, in New York City, I would say.
Yeah, so you know, I'll be there. If you want to hang out with the two of us, we'll be there. So.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't want to hang out with the two of us?
Mm-hmm.
You got anything big coming up this week?
I mean, yeah, there's a lot going on. I kind of wanted to check in about San Francisco. Did you get any intel about the fog fair?
I spoke to several gallerists that are, mm-hmm, participating. They said it was slow and steady, which is often the case for that fair.
Right.
I made it out last year. Unfortunately, last year it coincided with the JPM Healthcare Week, which is a big financial services industry event.
Mm-hmm.
And so it felt like the city was more buzzy. All my clients, and I've three that are at least part-time San Francisco residents, none of them were in town this particular week, so it didn't make sense for me to schlep out there. But the dealer said it's, you know, slow and steady. They're building relationships. I don't think it's burning. I don't think it's blasting the roof off it. But people brought really, really strong things.
I know. The previews look really good. I went 2 years ago because I was already in Los Angeles. It's such an easy flight up there. And I had a really nice time. I think San Francisco gets a bad rap, you know, for all of the sort of doom and gloom shit. It's a very wonderful city.
We've definitely spoken this on the pod when I was there a few times last year. I've always been kind of a hater on San Francisco. Super pro it right now. The vibes, mm-hmm, there are great. Like, the restaurants are great. Like, I kind of like how unhinged and lawless it feels.
Right.
Feels like anything is possible.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the museums have great new curators up there. Some New York imports. I'm blanking out right now. But I know Berkeley has a great curator from the New Museum.
Mm-hmm.
Formerly. Yeah, so sad to miss this. This week, I'm going to the theater tomorrow evening.
Oh, nice. What are you seeing?
I'm seeing a children's performance of Annie, the musical that my daughter's in. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Wow. That's pretty great.
You know, living on the edge here. That's the kind of live entertainment I get to go see. And then on Wednesday, I am pretty excited for a show of Marika Thunder, that is opening at Mickey Meng's kind of space here in New York City.
Very excited for that.
So I think that'll be a cool, mm-hmm, opening. I think there's going to be a really interesting dinner involved with that. So, mm-hmm, that's definitely on my radar of things I'm keen for.
Yeah, I mean, like we've been saying, there's a lot going on in New York. There should be a bunch of other openings this week. I'm kind of blanking. There's stuff going on.
Yeah, I don't have anything in my calendar. That's all I have. I know there's other things that I've committed to. I probably won't flake unless it's on Friday, and I definitely will.
Mm-hmm. I'm just excited to fucking do a book signing.
Yeah, I hate to rush us to the wrap here, but we do need to go help Joel get set up. I think they're already lining up around the block here in 17-degree weather in New York City.
Yeah, we're going to let them in. It's just cruel. It's
yeah,
cruel
so if you're listening to this and you missed it, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You could have known about it.
Mm.
All right, that's all I got this week. It was great seeing you, Nate. It's been a while. We'll be back here next week. Nota bene.
Out.